opinion.
A very, very quick bowl of cereal, followed by a cup of coffee and a dash to the car because I was going to be late for a hearing.
Okay, that's the job, right. Well, Gidi Mamman, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
So, to become a refugee in Canada, I understand there's two ways of coming, and there's several categories when you get here. Let's talk about the two different ways, one through the resettlement program and the other what they call the inland claim program. Maybe start with the resettlement program to begin with.
Yeah, through the resettlement program, you could be sponsored basically as a convention refugee, you must be able to show that you have a fear in your country of origin. And if your sponsorship is approved, you can come to Canada as a permanent resident, as a protected person.
Okay, let me ask two questions there. When you say sponsorship, it has to be approved. Is that private sponsorship?
Yes.
So that could be a group of people, it could be a church group, it could be an organization, and it can be a relative?
The relatives could be part of that group, yes.
And how do you prove that you have a fear of persecution?
Well, the onus is on the person applying for convention refugee status. They could be declared as refugees by the United Nations, or they could prove that through other documentation that they have grounds to fear persecution in their own country. And the grounds would have to be either race, religion, nationality, their political opinion, or maybe they're a member of a particular social group that is being persecuted.
And the inland claim?
Well, the inland claim is for those individuals who are already in Canada, whether they have status in Canada or they do not have status. They would make an application at an immigration office. They would have to set out their story in a form. Submit it with supporting documentation. They would have a very quick hearing. At the hearing, generally, they will be told whether or not their claim has been approved. The board will have someone hearing the claim. Obviously, there will be somebody there, a counsel from the government, sort of testing the credibility of the claim, asking questions to see if this is a truthful claim. And of course, the person who's making the claim will be entitled to a lawyer, whether they have their own private lawyer. And if they don't have any funds, they could apply for legal aid and have a legal aid lawyer appointed to them to help them with the refugee claim.
I've heard the terms being bandied about regular refugees and irregular arrivals.
Well, yes, yeah, some people come to Canada in all kinds of ways. They come with false passports. They come with real passports. Some come with passports from their relatives who are lending them their passports. Other people come in the belly of an airplane or in a ship or even in organized groups like the boats that we've had off of our western coast, where they come in large groups of people to Canada in an organized fashion. And there are rules dealing with the types of entry that that refugee claimants make, and the rules are adjusted for each of those categories. And that's a very contentious area of refugee law right now, because some feel that the way you come to Canada has no bearing on whether or not you're being persecuted in your country. In fact, sometimes the most desperate avenues of reaching Canada suggest that you have a greater fear that you're escaping from.
And the designated countries classification?
Well, the DCO, the designated countries of origin, is a new concept that we have in our law. We've never really had that. And these are countries that are generally, you know, for lack of a better word, rich Western countries that are sort of respectful of civil rights. Those countries have been designated by our government. And to make a long story short, if you come from one of those designated countries, the assumption is that, you know, you're probably not a refugee. So the process there is much more streamlined. Your appeal rights are more limited, and your access to certain types of under are curtailed.
Gidi, can you just say that again? You kind of dropped out there a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. So let me see where I should pick up from.
So you were designated countries of origin.
Yeah. So the designated countries of are those countries, typically richer countries from the West, that are mindful of civil rights. So you'll see European countries, North American countries, who are respectful of civil rights, and the assumption is that those countries do respect human rights, and therefore we should try to get these people out of our refugee system as quickly as possible. So they have some shortened deadlines, they have limited appeal rights, and they have limited access to certain types of applications. And the theory is that they're not really genuine visitors, they're not really genuine refugees, so we should not be affording them all of these rights that refugees from other countries, from more torn countries, from more poor countries, from countries that we know are abusive of human rights, we're not going to afford them the kind of process that, those people are getting.
And in your experience, is this generally the case?
Well, you know, obviously a person who is coming from a country like the United States, an American citizen who comes here and says, look, I'm being persecuted in the United States. You know, I'm not saying that that's not possible in terms of the Americans not being able to persecute. Of course, every government is able to deny rights to people, crucial rights even. But one has to look at that and say, you know, I'm a bit skeptical about that. And maybe you're using the refugee process for a purpose for which it's not intended, maybe to gain access to a work permit, to gain access to health benefits, who knows. So we're more suspicious of a person who's making a refugee claim from, let's say, the United States than we are from someone from Somalia or Sri Lanka or Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan. And it sort of stands to reason. But at the end of the day, everybody really should have the right to make a refugee claim and access to the system. But we already know from the, you know, from the beginning, depending on your country of origin, how this is going to play out.
Okay, just one last question before I let you go. We're going into a federal election campaign next year, and we've heard a lot about the changes that were implemented in December 2012 to the immigration and refugee system in Canada. What one aspect would you like to see become a campaign issue?
Well, refugee lawyers are having a tremendous difficulty dealing with a very, very fast pace of this process. The government insisted that they wanted refugee claims done and finished in like 60 days or something like that. It's very, very difficult for lawyers to number one, get their client's story, have that story submitted. In some cases, you have to get a legal aid certificate, so that takes some time. There's witnesses that need to be found, documents that need to be prepared, you know, sometimes psychological reports or medical reports that need to be submitted. And the government has sent a very strong signal to the Immigration Refugee Board that they want these cases done fast. And unfortunately, justice sometimes takes a little bit of time. We don't need to have a 2 or 3 year or 4 year process, but the speed at which it's going right now, it seems that genuine refugees are just being trampled by the speed of the process. If you miss one deadline, home you go, even if it's by one day. And this is problematic. So I think that it's important to have a speedy process. But, you know, if a person doesn't have access to a medical report or to a witness, we have to be a little bit more generous with the time, because after all, this process is a voluntary process for Canada. We agreed when we signed the 1951 Convention that we will protect refugees. So if we are serious about that, then we should give them a reasonable amount of time to do that. And if they're not found to be convention refugees, there's no reason to keep them lingering here. You can remove them very quickly. But you have to give them an opportunity to make their claim in court. They should have a fair opportunity to represent themselves in court. And we just see people who are arriving, who are getting piles of papers in a language, English, which they don't understand quite often, and they're overlooking dates and deadlines. And then by the time that they realize that they've made a mistake, their refugee claim is dead and gone. And that should not be the case. It needs to have more flexibility, and for people, especially vulnerable people who are elderly, young people, women in abusive situations, et cetera, you have to be more flexible and tolerant of oversights and mistakes and requests for more time.
Well, Gidi Mamin, thank you for telling me about it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That was great. Thank you, Gidi, very much. Great to talk to you again.